Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome in live into the Kia Studios. Look who's back. Georgia Rattlesnake here, hanging out with you tonight. Take you to 11 o'clock. Chuck Rhea in the house. Streaming online. Go to 929thegame.com. Catch show live, all the replays, interviews, best moments, all your breaking sports news. It's all on our new and improved website, 929thegame.com. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your phone, your tablet, your boombox, turntable, 8-track player, Blu-ray, whatever you got for a device, Texas Instruments calculator, I don't care what you got. Put it on one of your devices. That way you can always catch us on the go. All of the social media for the station is at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Like us, favor us. Hang out with us, comment on us, whatever they do nowadays out there in that world. The best way to follow along with the show, as always, is follow me on Twitter. That is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. All your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out here. Jahi in the house tonight. Jarvis will be back tomorrow, so the band will be back together tomorrow. Busy show, a lot to get into. Of course, it's my first night back. I was on vacation. I haven't been in this show for a long time because I had to do the morning show for Fricky the whole week before I went on vacation, and then did some days with Mike Bell the week before that. So finally kind of back in the saddle here at night as everybody's vacations and everything. You know, as I'm the, I guess, the utility knife, right? Is that that basically all I am? I'm like that Swiss Army knife, just I'm the broken scissors and the butter knife that's worn out or whatever, and the bottle opener that didn't open anything. So, as we said, a lot to get into with you tonight. We will talk plenty of Hawks and, of course, MLB All-Star action tonight. So 7:30, which I like, by the way, too, the fact that this game starts at 7:30. They're not waiting till like 9 o'clock at night on the East Coast to get one of these games started. So 7:30 tonight, Hyunjin Ryu and Justin Verlander, your pitching matchup in the MLB All-Star Game. Of course, the Braves do have three total All-Stars. Freddie and Ronald Acuna will start. Mike Soroka expected to get an inning of work tonight, so Caleb's in the house. We'll keep you up to date on all of that and let you know how the Braves are performing and keep up with everything happening in Cleveland for the MLB All-Star Game. I did want to kind of hit on first just on a lot of the things that I had to kind of catch up on and you know, thoughts. I mean, obviously, as the Braves now are in first place as we head into the All-Star break, the, you know, it's not the halfway point from a game standpoint, but considered the halfway point of the season for the Braves. Right now, a 6-game lead in the division. And look, the Braves have, I don't want to say the Braves have completely over-exceeded expectations, but when you win 90 games in the division the year before, you know, I expected this team to be a playoff team. Now, I will say I thought Philadelphia would be the team that would win the division. And I thought the Braves would be right around the same type of record that they had last year. You know, I'm not one of those people that believes that you get to overachieve and then you get to take expectations off the table and start stepping backward. But I keep asking the question about the Atlanta Braves is, how can you watch this team and not think that they aren't a legitimate World Series contender? I mean, do they have flaws? Yeah, every team's got flaws. Every team has their issues and problems. Every team has a weakness here and a weakness there. No team is set up perfectly. I would tell you that the Braves lineup is better than the Dodgers. If you could have one of the other lineup, you wouldn't take the Dodgers lineup as good as Bellinger's been. You wouldn't take their lineup top to bottom in their bench over what the Braves do. Braves play as good a defense as anybody. Mike Soroka's been outstanding this year. Yeah, he's had a rough patch here and rough patch here. That's the nature of the game. Max Scherzer's had rough patches. Jacob deGrom has had rough patches. Those are multi-time Cy Young. There's what, four Cy Youngs between those two guys. That happens. So, you know, I give the Braves credit. They've done what they needed to do, and they've been better than Philadelphia. But to think that this team can't compete for the World Series, well, we need this, well, we need that. Okay. A lot of teams are going to be trying to make moves. Yeah, the Braves have some holes to fill. Now, I think it's still personally the back end of their bullpen. Yeah, I know Luke Jackson's had a save here, and he's had a save there, and he's gotten this and all that. Okay. You want him against the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Brewers or whoever when it gets to be October? And that leverage meter really goes through the roof? It's one thing you get in trouble against the Marlins and things like that and work yourself out of it and you make a great defensive play. It's another thing when you got to face the Cubs every night and the Dodgers every night. You know, it's a whole different ball game when you're going to see the best teams in the National League for that seven-game stretch. Then what do you do? That's where I get concerned. I think the Braves have enough starting pitching. I think with Dallas Keuchel, Mike Soroka, Max Fried, Julio Teheran, I think they got enough starting pitching. I know everybody wants to go get another starter because we don't have enough start. We haven't had enough starters. I get all that. All right. Okay. We're going to do about the back end of your bullpen. I got the middle figured out, I think. I can get enough out of Tukey. I can get enough out of Sean Newcomb. I think I got guys that I can make. You know, are those guys perfect? No. No. They're not. They're like all bullpens. In look at the Mets bullpen. See how bad the Mets bullpen is? It's dreadful. What difference does it make to have a $40 million closer if the middle of your bullpen can't get anybody out to even get to him in the first place? You know, at least it looks like the Braves can get to their back end. It's what they do with it afterward that you're like, oh, geez, what are we trotting out there? Who we got out there? Now, the Braves obviously have a few weeks before we get to the trade deadline. I should say, really, what it is the non-waiver trade deadline. So the Braves have some time to go make some moves, and I think that they will, whether that's the kid out of Detroit, what's his name, Gray or whatever, or Will Smith out of San Francisco. That's the guy I'm interested in. You know, he's from this area. Tom Glavine, his favorite pitcher when he grew up. I mean, that's my choice. On expiring contract, obviously doesn't cost a whole lot of money. You know, I'm not willing to give up the farm for these guys. But if you are going to make a move, no matter what, you want a starter, you want a reliever, you want this, you want that, you are at some point going to have to give up some of your assets, right? I get not wanting to give up Christian Pache and things like that, but at some point, you are going to have to give up some of your assets to roll the dice to go win it now. Not next year, not in a couple of years, not let's transition, not let's keep building. No, now. Now. You're sitting right now with a record of 54-37. Go get it. Go get it done. What are you waiting for? Well, you know, we're ahead. What, huh? It's sports, man. There is no ahead, behind the schedule. You got to seize the moment. What was that line Robin Williams used? Seize the day? Seize the moment? What was that from? That Dead Poets Society? Carpe diem or whatever? Seize the moment or whatever? That's what you got to do in sports. Because you don't know when this comes around again. You don't sit there and say, well, oh, we're fine. It'll be great. Oh, there'll be no problems here. We'll be all fine. No, man, you go get it. Ask the Red Sox. They're sitting at 49-41. They're 9 games out of first. This is a team that, oh, well, man, they got Betts and Benintendi and Bradley and Sale. They're going to be great for, okay, well, they're in third place right now. They're 2.5 games behind the Tampa Bay Rays. That's the team that won the World Series last year. You don't wait. So it'll be fascinating to see, but we'll see what the Braves do. Keep you up to date with the All-Star game. Hawks, we're going to get into that at 7:40, so I'll save all that. Atlanta United, okay, you got blown out one night, and you know, the New York Red Bulls are pretty good, too, at times. Teams are going to have some of these stretches. I'm not panicked about Atlanta right now, United. Like, right now, they're still the favorites in the East. You're not taking anybody over them in the East. They got their flaws. Yeah, Petey's not played well. Let's get Barco back. Figure this all out. This team will be fine. You know, they're not going to be flawless. They're not the same type of team, and they're not the same type of squad that they've had. Maybe Miguel Almirón did hide some flaws that this team has. Okay. I mean, what was it, 5-1 the other night? They were up 5. They were down 5-0 at one point. Okay, that happens in sports, man. I don't care if you're playing a 38-game season, a 75-game season, a 200-game season. There's going to be some nights where it just doesn't go your way and you get blown out. It happens. yeah, the Red Bulls thing kind of stunk. You'd like to close that game out. At least got a point out of it. Okay, when that team shows that they can beat you when it gets to be, you know, nut-cutting time, then we'll talk. Regular season, it's all fine and dandy. When they can do it in the playoffs, then we'll talk. So, you know, United, I don't know, it didn't really bother me. Now, this whole NBA thing, this is tremendous. I don't care what anybody says. This is tremendous. And I'm going to disagree with my colleague, my brother from Ohio, brother from another mother, from Hugh Douglas. We had a great week together a couple weeks ago. Fabulous. A lot of fun. He's talking about, seems like more of these teams in the NBA are going through the draft and trying to build. They are? Huh. Lakers aren't. Clippers aren't. Nets aren't. Like, what really good teams are trying to go through the draft now? Everybody's trying to gang up together, right? What's Miami looking to do? Right? Let's bring Russell Westbrook down there. Oh, yeah, and we got Jimmy Buck. Who's trying to go through the draft and go through that process? You know when you go through the draft and you go through the process? When you realize you've got no shot. That's when you go and say, maybe we should go start drafting some new guys. See, it's easy right now for OKC to say, yeah, let's go through the draft and build. Yeah, because nobody wants to play there. None of your top stars in the league want to play there. You had two first-team All-NBA guys. They're about to be gone. Right? And I heard people say, oh, man, OKC fleeced the Clippers. Did they? How many first-team All-NBA guys will they draft? Because let me tell you what I know about Paul George. He's first-team All-NBA. There ain't a whole lot of those guys running around the league right about now. Let me tell you what Steve Ballmer doesn't give a crap about, building through the draft for the next few years. He's in L.A. with the Lakers on the other end of him. He wants to win now. That's why he's a quadruple billionaire. What's he worth, about $40 billion? One of the co-founders of Microsoft, one of the real brains of the operation. Built through the draft. Everybody's trying to sign everybody they can. What's great is the guys are, what I like personally, the players are deciding how the teams are going to be built. And ain't the GMs. Ain't no GM in the NBA deciding how a team's going to be built. You want to be good? You better hope the right guys want to come play for you. That's all you can hope for now at this point. All right, when we get back, going to ask the question, if you started your MLB franchise today, how many players are you realistically selecting before you take Ronald Acuna Jr.? We'll break that down next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Back at it on Sports Radio 920 The Game.
This has powered all fields from Acuna. The crowd is appreciative of the 21. And now 22. That's going to get out of here.
I tell you, Vladdy was impressive to watch. Woo! But the home runs to the opposite side to center field, that might have been a more impressive complete round.
That call courtesy of ESPN and the Home Run Derby last night. John Chuck, we're back with you here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out with you till 11 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. As always, the best way through my Twitter, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. So All-Star Game coming up tonight, 7:30. Ronald Acuna, of course, will be in the starting lineup. He's going to bat ninth. How about that? By the way, this is the youngest lineup in National League All-Star Game history. The youngest lineup ever. Freddie Freeman is the old man of this lineup at 29 years old. Think about the young guys that are in the middle of that lineup. And funny to see Acuna hitting ninth in this. Now, through this first half, quote-unquote, if you will, of course, already having a monster year for this club. 21 homers, 53 RBIs. And, you know, the numbers are better when you take a look at the batting position. I just had it up here just a second ago, and where he hits. You know, hitting leadoff for Ronald Acuna Jr. This year, when he bats first, when he hits in the leadoff spot, .301 batting average, .380 on-base percentage with 14 homers and 226 at-bats. When he hit cleanup, he was hitting .278 with a .373 on-base percentage, 7 homers and 21 RBIs. So his RBI numbers in that short amount of time were pretty good. The difference, obviously, you know, more power, a little bit more power out there. It's not drastically different because if you double his at-bats, you know, he'd be 14 homers and 266 at-bats versus 226 at-bats. I love the fact that he's now up to 13 stolen bases, by the way. And, of course, plays a great defense. Can play left, can play center for you. He's got power. He's got speed. And there's no question about the fact that when you watch that first round of the home run derby last night, yeah, no doubt about it, Guerrero was just mashing. But when you watched Acuña, just that natural ability, and I'll tell you, a guy who, I say this in some way, and I don't say this, you know, in a bad way, but there is a lot of C-ball, hit ball out of Ronald Acuña, a guy that I grew up watching, that's still one of my favorite players of all time, that was like that, was Manny Ramirez. A guy who could, no matter where you threw it, could hit it out of the ballpark, or could drive a double into the gap. Throw it high and away, he could still reach out and go get it. And I'm not talking necessarily about a bad ball hitter. There is a difference. You know, Vlad Guerrero, the old man, is maybe the best bad ball hitter. Didn't he hit a home run on a ball that was bounced up the home plate or something like that? He's like the best bad ball hitter you could ever see. Like, you could just throw junk and garbage and he'd just poke it out somewhere. I'm talking about the raw natural ability of, no matter where you throw it, this guy can drive it and hit it with power. That's what Manny Ramirez could do, especially when he was younger. You know, I see a lot of that in Ronald Acuña. And by the way, say what you will about Manny and, you know, his, you know, steroids and all that kind of stuff, he's still one of the most productive hitters in the history of Major League Baseball. I mean, his numbers are pretty staggering when you start to look at his RBI numbers and home run totals and all that kind of stuff. He'll never get in the Hall of Fame because of the steroid, and I have no problem with that because he actually was suspended for his steroid use. It's a different discussion for another day. But the question I have is, if you're starting your Major League Baseball franchise today and you're building your franchise from scratch, are there really that many guys right now? And I know he doesn't have a track record, but at 21 years old, are there many guys that you take over him? Now, I'll give you Mike Trout, who's still only 27 years old. I think Mike Trout, it's Mickey Mantle incarnate. I mean, he's the best player in all of Major League Baseball. I wouldn't take anybody over Mike Trout. I can't imagine even saying, starting my franchise today, and I'm building my franchise, I still take Mike Trout. Because Mike Trout looks like one of those guys that his game will adjust. You know, I think he's leading the American League in RBIs right now. Think about it. He's that kind of guy that you feel like he can win the Triple Crown at some point in his career. If there was a guy you feel like could do that. But I would tell you that the list is pretty short of guys that I would take over Ronald Acuña. You know, people talk about Jose Altuve maybe the best pure hitter in baseball. But he's 29 years old. And with all due respect, when you talk about Latin American players, you can't always guarantee what their age is. They could be 1-4 years. I contend all the time. You can tell me whatever number Albert Pujols is, he's 5 years older than what he really is. If you really get into what their real ages are, I think a lot of those guys are older. Now, Fernando Tatis is an interesting name. Obviously, shortstop. He's having a monster year. He's at 20 years old. Juan Soto at 20 years old. Javier Baez is at 26 years old. Because I'm looking at age, too, and thinking, okay, how many guys right now are in their prime or moving into their prime, and how long do they have? Cody Bellinger would be another guy at 23 years old. Would be another guy because he can play multiple positions for you. And obviously, one thing about Acuña, when you talk about center field, shortstop, those are premium positions. More than left field, first base, things like that, those are real premium positions. Maybe an Alex Bregman is a guy. Machado could be another guy. I don't know that there are realistically, though, if you gave GMs an option of who you would want to start your franchise with, when you just watch the pure, raw ability that Ronald Acuña Jr. has and stealing bases and playing center field, and he's got a ways to learn and develop. But the game is coming so quickly to him. The game is coming so quickly to him. You know, even take like Mookie Betts, who's 26 years old. Great player, no question about it. Have another really good year. Obviously, the reigning MVP of the American League. I'm not sure that I would take Mookie Betts at 26 years old over having Ronald Acuna Jr. at 21 years old. Because there's nothing that Betts can do that Acuna Jr. can't do. He can do all those same kinds of things, and you get 5 years of age out of it. You know, Victor Robles, another guy from the Washington Nationals. You know, they've got Soto and Robles at 20 and 22 years old. Now, there's a lot. I mean, that's the thing about baseball right now when you start looking at it. There are so many great young players. And as we said, it's the youngest lineup in National League All-Star history. You know, so many great guys who are on display for the Home Run Derby. So many young guys. You know, I think that's the thing that you have to be excited about. Just even just as a general baseball fan, I think you have to be excited about the idea of how great the collection of young players are. Think about all the guys. Look, Otani's another guy. Think about Otani. He's only 24 years old, by the way. Talking about a guy who's got the power. He can pitch. Now, I don't know. I guess at some point he really does have to settle down. I mean, I guess he's going to kind of be more of a full-time outfielder. But, I mean, that's an interesting name as well. But you look at some of the guys. Stanton is 29. Kershaw's 31. Arenado. Arenado might be the best two-way player. We talk about offense, defense. He may be the best two-way player that there is in baseball. But he's 28 years old. And that's not ancient. But you do wonder in today's baseball culture, when you don't expect guys to be able to hit 35 homers at 39 years old anymore. You know, when you expect guys in this era, if they're quote-unquote clean, as we believe, you know, how long can they sustain their prime? How long can guys stay on top? You know, is 35 the new 39 in old baseball? It used to be in the old days. You look at the guys like Jim Rice and Mike Schmidt. Man, when those guys got to be, you know, mid-30s, it was over. Mike Schmidt quit in the middle. Remember, Mike Schmidt retired in the middle of the season. He just literally was, he's like, I can't play anymore. Jim Rice, when it ended for Jim Rice, he couldn't play. He couldn't play. Let me grab a couple of quick phone calls real quick before we get out of here. Mac out in Conyers. What's going on, Mac?
Pretty good, John. How are you tonight?
Good, buddy. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Look, I would take Juan Soto over Acuna, not in terms of the total package, but I think Juan Soto's a more disciplined hitter.
Okay.
And I love Ronald Acuna, though, but I was born and raised in D.C. I'm a diehard Nationals fan, but I love what the Braves have done.
He's appreciate it, man. I can let you go, Matt, because we're going to grab one more call. But Soto, 15 homers, 56 RBIs, 53 runs, hitting .300 with a .406 on base percentage and .943 OPS. Tremendous numbers. Cole out in Snellville. What's up, Cole?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good, brother.
Great. I know you asked the question, who would I choose over Ronald, but I wouldn't choose anybody just because, like you said, his age and he's just got raw talent.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, I appreciate the phone call, Cole. When you look at all of the things that Ronald Acuna is doing, you know, like I said, he's got 13 stolen bases now. You know, he's on pace to be a 30-20 player this year. Doesn't he look like the kind of guy who, if he really wanted to, could be 30-30 in this league? I know guys don't steal a bunch of bases and things like that anymore, but if you told me Ronald Acuna was 35 homers and 25 steals, there aren't a lot of those guys running around the Major League World of Baseball. And Acuna, by the way, is on pace for 121 runs scored, 37 homers, 94 RBIs, which if he wasn't hitting leadoff, that number would be a lot higher. 292 with a .377 on base and a .882 OPS. Pretty good numbers for a guy going into his first full season because, you know, we had to make sure that we held on to his arbitration, but I'm not going to get into all that because I'm just going to get aggravated. All right, when we get back, it's been a busy offseason for the Atlanta Hawks, but have they done as much as you expected them to do? Are they about where you thought they would be? We'll take a look at that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, hanging out with you here on a Tuesday night, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Being able to guard guys in the post because of his strength, the versatility, I think, defensively is what really stands out about him. We think he's underrated offensively. I think a lot of times when you watch Virginia play, you know, they probably lead the country in shots taken with 5 seconds or less on the shot clock. They have a very good system, but, you know, it doesn't really show you what guys can do offensively. And, you know, he's going to be a very good shooter. You know, he shot 45% from three last year.
That was Hawks general manager Travis Schlenk, who joined the morning show the other day. Sports Radio 92 on the Game. John Chuckery with you live in the Kia Studios tonight, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. There's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to interact with us, always the best way is through my Twitter, at JMCH316, at JMCH316. So it has been a busy, busy offseason for the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, when you look, obviously, with the way the draft came together and the trades and moving up to get DeAndre Hunter and also being able to go up and get this Bruno Fernandez as well. Bruno Fernando as well. You know, when I look at the Hawks offseason, one is as far as the draft goes. I think Travis Schlenk did a really good job in the draft. And I saw some people that love the Hunter pick, and I've seen people that don't like the Hunter pick. I think people like Cam Reddish just because they got him at 10. And I think a lot of people, some people didn't like Cam Reddish even in the first round. Some people like Cam Reddish in the top four. So the fact that he fell to 10, which, you know, can be a lifetime of picks in the NBA draft, I think people are okay with that. There are people that love Hunter, like I said, people that don't like Hunter as much because they don't feel like his game transitions well enough to the NBA. I think when you look at what the Hawks are trying to get done, they needed a guy who can play some outstanding defense and can help shut down somebody because they don't have a one-on-one ball defender right now. Nobody. They don't have anybody that can defend one-on-one right now. Hunter fills that role. And I'm not telling you that his offense is just a bonus, but you're not counting on DeAndre Hunter to go out there and get you 20 and 10. You know, he doesn't need to be 20 points and 6 rebounds. I don't think that's how they're – I think they're looking at him as, if this kid could come in and get me 15, 16 a night, if he can come in here and do what he did in college, give me 15 points, 5 boards, but I can put him on the good wing players that we see night in, night out, and he can kind of shut them down and help our defense, he's worth it. Let me let you hear from Travis Schlenk on the appeal about DeAndre Hunter.
He's a very good defensive player, but inside that defensive player is versatility. You know, he can guard big guys because he's strong. You know, he's 6'8 with a 7'3 wingspan, and he's 220 pounds, strong as an ox. You know, just being able to guard guys on the perimeter, you know, switching on to point guards.
Now, like I said, I don't, you know, he actually had a pretty good three. I think it was 44% from three-point range for Virginia, played for the national champion, comes from a great program, right? He's got all the pedigree of everything that you check off and say, you know, this guy's got it. Like I said, though, I don't think that they are looking at him and saying, because a lot of times you talk about the fourth pick of the draft. You start saying, okay, this guy needs to be a 20 and 10 guy or this guy. I don't think that's how they look at him. I think they look at this guy and say, can this guy come in and shut some guys down? And, oh, yeah, he probably can get me 15 a night. Which, by the way, in the NBA, if you're a defensive stopper and you get me 15 and 5 every night, I'll take that. You know, you need guys like that. Yeah, I understand it's the fourth pick of the draft and you're hoping to find a franchise cornerstone. But sometimes you also, in the draft, have to find some guys who fill specific roles for you. I think that's part of what it was. I'm not going to tell you DeAndre Hunter was the best player available at 4. What I am going to tell you is that he fits an exact need that this team has. Now, obviously, through some of their other trades that they made as they moved all around, they were able to move up to get center Bruno Fernando. Let me let you hear Travis Schlenk talking about the appeal, what Bruno Fernando can bring to this team.
He's going to show up with his hard hat on, and he's going to work hard. But, you know, he's got the 7'4 wingspan. He's strong as an ox. What people don't really know about him on the offensive end, he can shoot the basketball. You know, you're going to see Bruno Fernando make three-pointers this year. You're going to see him make passes.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I mean, when you start, to me, in the NBA, when you start talking about guys that are picked in the 30s, and he was what? Was he 35? I think something like that. I think is what they traded up to. 34. When you got guys that are drafted in the 30s, whatever they give you to me is a bonus. And I understand Draymond Green, you know, Tony Parker was a second. I get it. I get that there are guys that you find. But that's true of everything. You know, you always find there's always going to be guys that are the outliers to what the general rule is. To what general. So okay, maybe the kid's got some upside, maybe he can play. I hope. I mean, that's cool. I don't know. I couldn't even begin to tell you what to expect in the first year out of Bruno Fernando. Literally. Are you counting on him? I don't know. Maybe he's a body and a banger and a rebounder. Maybe he can hit a few threes. I don't need the next Al Horford, though, where I got a 6'10 guy that wants to stand 24 feet out and shoot it 500 times. You know, if anything, they do need some guys inside to help rebound, help rim protect. They do need some guys like that. It's part of why I wish they'd have gone, and I know he's not a very good defensive player, but I would have liked to have had another low post player like a Boogie Cousins or something like that. So when you come to the draft and you tell me we got Hunter, Reddish, and whatever this Bruno Fernando, and I couldn't even begin to tell you enough about him and what he can do. I'm very happy with the draft. Now, the other thing, too, is that when you look at the free agent moves that they did, the reality is that the Hawks were never going to be in the business of what these guys have going on. And I think you see how pervasive that is. You know, the Hawks are not a destination spot yet. I'm not telling you that Brooklyn is a great organization, but it's in the Big Apple, and yeah, I know it's in New Jersey, or you know, not they don't play in New Jersey, but you know, playing in Brooklyn, it's not the Knicks, what have you, but there's still marquee to it. There's still marquee to it. Maybe that's it. Maybe we're a year or two away from all of that, but it's obvious that we were not going to be that kind of destination spot. My question was, could we get an interview with somebody? I like the fact they moved on from Kent Bazemore. I don't think he fits any of the roles that you really need. I'm good with the idea of getting Evan Turner as a backup point guard. Shipping Amari Spellman. Okay, if he doesn't fit in what you want to do and you don't think he's turning it around, move him. Go ahead, move him. And, you know, you pick up a draft pick here, you get some more assets, things like that. Solomon Hill for Plumlee, for Chandler Parsons, okay. I mean, I think anybody who is kind of hoping for, looking for any kind of real splash in free agency, you know, I will say that the one guy, I was hoping we maybe take a run at Boogie Cousins and bring him in on a one-year show-me type of deal. Come in here for a year, prove yourself, show me what you can do, put some numbers up. Let me see if I catch lightning in a bottle. And if I don't, I ain't got nothing invested in you. Because next year I got all this money that's coming available. Like what, $60 million coming available? You know, now next year, somebody you do have to take that, which is why I think being a playoff team is important. You have to start showing guys in the league that, hey, we're the spot to come to now. Clippers and Lakers are filled up. I, you know, maybe Miami, they get Westbrook, they're filled up. You know, Brooklyn's filled up. You know, come to us now. All these other teams are filled up. We got these young stars. Come play for us. And we got lots of money. Come play for us. Because here's what you've learned in the NBA. Guys turn down money. I understand Kawhi Leonard's turned down about $80 million worth of money the last couple of years by not playing in San Antonio and not going back to Toronto. Guys want to go play where it's fun and cool and they can win and they can be part of something. All right, when we get back, there's a report out that says Atlanta United may be willing to shop PT Martinez. Or are they? Ooh, play a curveball there. We'll talk about that next Sports Radio 910 again.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.